Some of us are living the Christian life by secondhand Christian testimony.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about ways we can build a more intimate relationship with the Lord.
He says, in fasting and prayer, you can find out what I can do for you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It's inspiring to hear great stories about what God has done for people. But what's He done for you lately? If it takes you more than a second to answer, you need to hear what Dr. Evans has to say as he takes us to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Let's join him.
If you reach out for fulfillment in the things of this life, you'll discover it's just out of your reach. For nothing in life was designed to give you the fulfillment of life, that is, except God. Everything else is but a cheap imitation. The thing you and I cling to most to give us meaning, zip, purpose, we find we have to keep hoarding it in because it so quickly eludes us. And that's why one of the great needs of the Christian life that I would like to address as we continue our series is the need for intimacy, closeness with God, where God is not way out there in some ethereal concept that we know about, but He has been personally expressing Himself in here, where we know Him and not just His name. Now, we all know it's possible to know about somebody and not know them. It's possible to live with somebody and not really know them. And this disconnect is the absence of authentic intimacy. And that's what Jesus Christ offers us in our lesson today on fasting. Four things I want to share with you today. The first is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. The problem of intimacy. Why does it exist? Why is it that often God seems so far away? This was a concern of the disciples when Jesus was leaving, and Jesus had to say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will return again to receive you unto myself." The question was, how are we going to make it with you not here? We've been used to you being here for 3 years. We've walked with you, talked with you, hung out with you, and now you're going to disappear on us? How are we going to make it with you not here? Matthew 9:15 states the problem another way. Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them." Can they? "But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast." In other words, when Jesus Christ left his disciples, that meant that there was going to be a gap physically because he wouldn't be here. They didn't need to fast when he was here because intimacy was based on proximity. He was there in their midst. But when he left, he said, "You will need to fast in order to bridge this invisible chasm of my absence. You can't be with me right now physically, but I will make a way for you to be with me spiritually. When the bridegroom is taken away, you will fast." That is, fasting was the way by which God would provide ongoing connectedness to the disconnectedness that we experience with trying to operate in the spiritual realm. Oftentimes, this connectedness we know as aloneness. Now, everybody gets lonely. There's a difference between being lonely and being alone. Loneliness is a temporary feeling of being by yourself. It comes, it goes. Aloneness, on the other hand, is a permanent feeling of being by yourself. A single person can be lonely, but they don't have to be alone. One is temporary, one is long-standing. Jesus Christ is not promising that you won't have periods of loneliness. But he is promising you never have to be alone. There are many people here today who knows what it is to live with somebody and still be alone. Because what's happened is there is no intimacy, although there's somebody there. Others know how to be on a trip and only have the ability to make a phone call to a loved one and feel connected because intimacy is there even though you're in two different cities. Intimacy is tied to the dynamic of the relationship, not the proximity of the body. So you can have intimacy with the invisible God, even though he is not physically here in the person of Christ, through this connectedness that fasting provides. For far too many of us, life is like fireworks on the 4th of July that provide a temporary thrill as it lights up the sky on the shoreline of our life, only to discover that after a few moments, this transitory rushes of excitement disappear and night returns. And we try to crack the firecrackers of fun and party and money and power, and they sparkle for a while, but then the spark leaves and it's nighttime again. God offers you and me something better. He offers us intimacy, a dynamic closeness with the creator of the universe. Intimacy is being on the same wavelength. The problem of intimacy is that Jesus Christ is not here physically. So, let's look at Matthew 6 and look at a second point. Who provides this intimacy? Where does it come from? This provider of intimacy. Look at chapter 6, verse 16 of Matthew. And whenever you fast, notice he says, whenever you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Put on some grease. So that you may be not seen as fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. He says the hypocrites, people who put on their spiritual Halloween costumes, the hypocrites come out looking like they're going through all these spiritual sacrifices for God. Their face is not washed. They haven't combed their hair. Because they want you to ask them what's wrong. And the reason they want you to ask them what's wrong is so they can tell you they're fasting to get close to God. God says, don't put on a show, because then if you get people's attention, you have your reward. He's dealing with not whether you fast with other people. He's dealing with your motivation. The motivation of fasting must be to get the reward of the Father's attention. That you do not want this long distance relationship with God. You do not want this breach in intimacy. You are like David, who said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Fasting for intimacy is not even fasting for your breakthrough. Now, I know we've got a lot of people fasting for breakthroughs. We got people fasting that God will bring about a deliverance in some area of your life, and you should do that. But this goes beyond that, because now you're not fasting for a breakthrough, you're fasting for the breakthrougher. In other words, you're after God. Not just what he can do for you, you want to know who he is. You're like Moses who said, God, show me your glory. You're like Paul who said, that I might know him. And the power that raised him from the dead. You're after a person. You've heard about God, but you want to know who he is. But far too many of us more like a camel than a deer. Camel stores water and uses it as it goes along. You can't store intimacy. You got to keep it up. How do you know when this is what you need to fast for? How do you know when it's time to give up food in order to get God, or to give up some other craving in order to get God? How do you know that it's time in my life for a fast? How do I know when that time has come? Look at Revelation 3, verse 15. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus here says, I want you to be hot or cold. I don't like lukewarm. You know you need an intimacy fast when you are so-so. Neither hot, neither cold. You're just there. There's not a Christian who doesn't experience just being there. If you live in this world, there are times when you're just there. When you're not hot, you're not cold, you're there. The fire of God has been diminished to less than a flicker. And it's just there. In fact, there is no fire, it's just smoke. That means there's a need for intimacy. And look what Jesus offers in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. He's talking about a meal, dine. He says, I am knocking on the door of your life. How do you know I'm knocking? Because you've gotten lukewarm. No fire, no hot, no cold. You're just there. When you're just there, I'm knocking and letting you know something is missing. Something is missing. How do I know Jesus is knocking? Because you're hearing what he's saying on the other side of the door. Something is missing. Something is missing. Something is missing. Something is missing. No, you don't need drugs. You don't need a girlfriend. No, you don't need a party. You need to open the door, he says. We hear somebody say something is missing and we go to the back door. Jesus is knocking on the front door and he is saying, let me in and I will come in and dine with you. Now Jesus told his disciples in John 4, he says, I have food to eat that you know not of. Jesus has got stuff to serve you that you've never eaten before. He is appealing to intimacy. Open the door, avail yourself. How do I open the door? We've been told, when the bridegroom goes, fasting. Fasting is open the door by pushing the physical in the background, pushing the spiritual to the front, giving up on the desires of the body in order that I might gain an intimacy of the spirit. The reason we don't fast is that we're too self-sufficient. I'm lukewarm, but I'll reheat myself. And so we become satisfied with frosting on the cake. Did you do that as a kid? Run your finger across the frosting? The frosting is meaningless without the cake. But as kids, we pick the frosting over the cake. And that's what we do. We become satisfied with the sweet things of this world and miss the cake that God wants to cook.
Dr. Evans will have more on building an intimate relationship with the Lord when he comes back in a moment to continue this message from his current series, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. This two-volume collection digs deep into the surprising relationship between food and faith. You'll discover how it may be the key you need to unlock revival, deliver you from problems, free you from burdens, guide you toward the future, and more. And if you contact us by tomorrow, we'll send you all 14 full-length messages in this collection as our way of saying thanks for any contribution you make, large or small, to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. Again, tomorrow's the last day this special offer will be available, so visit us today at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and request your copy of the Fasting Series. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with part two of today's lesson.
So what is the process for cultivating this intimacy? I like what Psalm 46:10 says. The King James Version, I think, says, be still and know that I am God. The New American Standard says, cease striving and know that I am God. The Tony Evans translation says, chill and know that I am God. The Hebrew word there means to relax, settle down, calm down, slow down. It's hard to be intimate on the run. In order to be intimate and therefore to know that he is God, you've got to back up, quiet down, create some solitude, create some simplicity, shut out the world around you, and simply be alone with him in his presence, which is what fasting and prayer offers. It offers time alone with God. Instead of the clamor of the noise, instead of the noise of the restaurant, I give up my meal, I go to my quiet place, and I chill with God. Now, first, that's going to be difficult because we are used to noise. Some of us wouldn't know how to act with the TV off because we're used to noise, or the radio on because we're used to noise. We always want something bombarding us. Jesus says, cease. Shh. So like Elijah, you can hear the still small voice fathering you. And in those quiet moments, like David, we say in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me. It is being in his presence, freeing the Holy Spirit up to begin speaking to your inner man and letting you hear, maybe for the first time in years, I love you. I cannot describe this in words. I don't have in my Webster dictionary the spiritual terminology to describe it. All I know is you know when you got it. You know what it is to sense the love of God deep down in your soul. Now, why must you cease striving? That is, settle down, back off, cool out, chill. Why must you do that? Because in the spiritual world, life is lived below the waterline. You see, all of us have seen beautiful yachts. They're beautiful to look at, but that yacht doesn't mean a thing if its craftsmanship underneath the water isn't worth much. And a lot of us spend so much time on what we're trying to build above the waterline that we have neglected what's most critical underneath the waterline. Because if underneath the waterline isn't working, what's above the waterline will sink. You know, I spend sometimes hours counseling people, days, weeks, months, and years. And I begin, at least to myself, to sound like a broken record. Because, you know, you tell the folks the same thing over and over and over and over again. Sometimes you tell yourself the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you wonder why you're not having victory, you know? Why am I not having victory? I go to church, but that's above the waterline. Could it be that I have not developed inner intimacy, so I don't have outward victory? So I live my Christian life, watch this, by performance. I got this list of all the stuff I do for God. He sure should be doing something for me. And it's based on this list. It's based on the law. It's based on I did A, B, and C. Don't you understand? You're not under the law. God is not empowering you by performance. He's empowering you by relationship. And when relationship is there, you'll perform and like it. If relationship isn't there, you may perform, but it'll be a headache. I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to be good. Can't do that. Can't go here because God said I can't do that. I hate every minute of this Christian life. Why? Because you're living it by performance, not by relationship. Not by relationship. What God invites us to is intimacy. Paul said, I want to just know him. You know why you're hearing me right now? You're hearing me because we got a loudspeaker. But this cord that I have on, this mic I have on, isn't plugged in anything. But you see, it's functioning as cordless because in the air there are waves, sound waves, and they're invisible. Can anybody point me to a wave? Show me a sound wave. You can't show me a sound wave, but you know it's working. You know why? You know the sound wave is working because I have a tool. We have a receiver that can pick up on the wave. We've got an instrument that can hook us up with the invisible, so the invisible becomes visible. so that what you couldn't hear without the instrument, you can hear, but the waves are there all the time. God is invisible. And if you start looking for him, you're not going to see him. But if you have the right instrument, you'll pick up on the wave. You'll pick up on the wave, and he offers us an instrument when he offers us fasting and prayer. Finally, God's provision of intimacy. Look at the scripture read in your hearing. Now, this is the kind of passage that, you know, you just kind of skip over. You'd read it real quick and say, that's cute. Let's keep going. But all scripture is inspired of God, and there's always something there. Anna and a man named Simeon have been looking for the Christ child at his first coming. All the prophets had prophesied that the Messiah was going to come. In Luke 2, Simeon gets the word Messiah is here and blesses Mary and said to Mary, his mother, verse 34, behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. He gives a prophecy concerning the child, and then we are introduced to a lady in the temple named Anna. Now, don't read this too fast. There's something here. She was always there. Why was she there? Fasting and praying. What was she fasting and praying for? We know because of what verse 38 says. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. What does that mean? She was saying, Lord, I want to see this redemption. You promised way back in Genesis 3:15 that there was going to be a Messiah who was going to be born. You promised in the prophet Isaiah it would be born of a virgin. You didn't give the exact date of the birth, but I just want to pray and fast to let my eyes see him. She was asking for a needle in a haystack. She was saying, let me be one of the ones who get to see Messiah with my own eyes. And here she, in this occasion, in Luke 2, gets to see Jesus Christ, the baby that had been born in the manger. Now, why is that important? Because she got to see what other folks never saw. You see, when you're close to God, he'll let you in on stuff other folk can't see. He'll let you in on private conversations. In fact, one of the rewards in Revelation 2 is that people who are close to God, he calls the overcomers, you shall get access to the paradise of God where we have private conversations. The beauty of fasting and being intimate with God is even when you don't know how long it's going to take him to give you your breakthrough, he'll make it so that you can wait till it's time. Intimacy will give you the power of patience. It'll let you keep waiting till your change comes.
What will it take for you to build a closer, more intimate connection with Christ? Well, if part of the answer is spending more time in God's Word, a good place to start is by visiting our website, tonyevans.org. It's packed with Bible study resources on just about any topic you can imagine. Books, booklets, CDs, and more, including a huge selection of downloadable resources and a link to the Tony Evans Training Center I told you about earlier. TonyEvans.org is also the place to go to take advantage of that special offer I mentioned. Remember, if you contact us by tomorrow and make a donation of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'll send you the entire 14-message series we're about to wrap up, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. It's packed with additional content and bonus messages we weren't able to bring you on the air. But again, this special offer ends tomorrow, so don't wait. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly people in our resource center will be happy to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Most people think of fasting in terms of what we don't do, eat. But the Bible describes a very active side to fasting. The list of things that prove our act of sacrifice is more than just an act. Find out more when you join us tomorrow. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.